So I'm going to read to you from Matthew 10, verses 21 to 42. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward.
I praise God and I thank Helen and all the elders for giving me this opportunity to share the word of God. And before going to the sermon, I just wanted to share my testimony. I was born and brought up in southernmost part of India, a place called Chennai. It was called Madras. It's the town where first English East India Company was started in early 1600. And this is one of the biggest cities in India. It's one of the four major big cities in India, actually. One of the four major cities. And here, you could see there are a lot of Christians living here, because this is a place where most of the missionaries started working, and there are a lot of churches and church congregations and denominations are there. And there is also a significance, a biblical significance. St. Thomas, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, he came to our town actually, and he lived in a place, and he started to preach to the people there. Those days, they were tribal peoples, and so he started to preach there, and he died as a martyr. And till date, we have a Catholic church there, and also his tomb is still there in our town, actually. It's called Santo, and Catholics, they created a basilica on that, and it's one of the special place for them to for worship and other things. And I come from this place. Basically, my residence is there in St. Thomas Mount, actually. So it's good to say, like one of the doubting disciples, we would say, but he came to us and he started preaching the word of God in those days. And later, like when British people came, they found everything, this history and everything, and they just did all those things. And to tell about me, about my I had a testimony to say. When I was like I come from a Christian background, and we are Christians for about six generations, and my father and the mother, they belong to a Lutheran church basically, and they got saved and they started attending a full gospel church there in Chennai. And my parents had two daughters, but basically they were longing for a son. And one day on a Sunday like this, they were hearing to a sermon. When the pastor was preaching the sermon, he was telling about an incident that happened long before. And a person named Duke Oliver, he's a Duke actually. He came from England and he died there in one of my places actually. And he preached the gospel, and many people were converted to Christianity at that time. And after Humphrey died, many people did not know about him, who was he and where he was he from. When one of the governors came there to see the person, burial place, they identified him as Duke Oliver, and they took him back to Westminster. And it was this story the pastor was sharing about. And in my church, women used to sit on one side and men used to sit on the other side. During the prayer time, my father and my mother both, they were committing and praying if we have a son, we will give it to your work and things like that. So they did not know about it, whether this will happen, but before even I was formed in my mother's home, they were doing this prayer. And when I was born, they shared this testimony with each other, and they decided to bring me up in the Lord actually. And this is how I was this was short testimony about me before even my birth actually. And later when I was 7 years old, I lost my mom, and I had to undergo a lot of different kind of situations. Everything life changed to me. And when I was 13 years old, Lord touched me, and I literally received the Lord, and I started committing my life to the Lord. And when I was 17, I was anointed in the church, and Lord started to use me. Since then, I'm being used in servicing for the Lord, and I used to preach in village churches in my town, in my place, and also I used to share testimonies and messages during youth worship. Even after I was married, I was called to different churches, and I used to share sermons and things like that. And later, when we came to England, we have a good Indian community, a lot of Christians, and they encouraged us, and we are also doing the same thing here as well. And I thank God that today I'm standing in front of you. I praise God for that. And regarding my background, I am a software engineer basically. I work for a financial software company in London. And also my wife, everyone knows Annette, she's also a business analyst, and she's working for a banking company here at Basildon. And I have two sons, as you know, Kevin and Calvin. And we have quite a few challenges with Calvin actually. With this special needs and things like that, and we are struggling with that, and we are still praying that Lord has to touch him and everything will change soon. So this is about me and my background, and I would like to go to the sermon. And so today as we read Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 to 42, this was our reading today. And we all know this is a wonderful passage actually. When the Lord Jesus called his disciples and he was giving some instructions to them to go to the nearby towns and preach the gospel to the people there. But this is also, there is also a significance in this chapter. We can see all the 12 disciples' name mentioned in this particular chapter. This is also one of the important thing mentioned in this chapter. So when we see this particular passage, we can meditate on this passage on a 5 different topics actually. So that is what I am trying to bring here now. And this 5 different topics is unique to our faith in Christ actually. So when we as a believers, like when we follow Christ, we come across all of these situations in our life. But even though like we come across these situations, Christ is there to strengthen us in our faithful journey actually, faith journey. So the first, the 5 different things is faith in during the persecution. Like we all know, like there are a lot of persecution going around the world, and we have to have faith in times of fear. Like every one of us has some, one or the other fear. So, but we have to take faith on in the times of fear. And the third one is faith amidst the passions of the flesh. Each one of us have different passions, and we have the passions of the flesh. We are not yet done actually. So we are fighting with that. And then faith in bringing others to Christ. This is also a challenging part. Like when we share our gospel to others, it's not a very easy thing, but we have to do it with faith. The fifth thing is faith to receive the reward in due time. We all know that our reward is with the Lord, and it will definitely be like we will definitely receive that reward when He comes back to the earth. So based on these five things, we are going to meditate on today's word actually. The first thing is faith during persecution. So when we talk about persecution, we don't see this physical persecution here in England. Like I don't see that, because it's a Christian country and we have a freedom to worship the Lord and everything. But when you see countries like Middle East countries, Asian countries, there are a lot of persecution going on in those countries. Even for their faith in Jesus Christ, they are being persecuted on a day-by-day basis. So these kind of persecutions, like physical persecutions, although it is there, that what is the Lord is telling in this chapter, in this particular verse, if we see that Matthew chapter 10 verse 22, we read like this: "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." So Lord clearly mentions that it's not going to be easy. The faith journey is not going to be easy. It's going to be very difficult. That is what He's teaching His disciple, and that is what is also right now happening all through the world. We will be hated for His name's sake. That is what is mentioning, and also the one who endures this will be saved. So this is a persecution is a part of Christian faith. We cannot take away persecution, because without persecution, the faith cannot get spread, and also persecution is a part of the Christian life as well. I just wanted to share this persecution, like in a person's experience, like he's shared his testimony. I just wanted to play that video. It is in Hindi basically. It's one of the languages in India, but even I don't know that language, but there is a subtitles in that video. You could understand like what is happening with that person, and how he got saved and things like that, and how he is undergoing persecutions and things like that. So this is a real video, and it's one of the testimony, you could see, but there are a lot of other people who are also struggling like this, and they are not even able to say that they are struggling for their faith and things like that. So this is a physical persecution that we are seeing, this is taking place all over the world. But as Christians, we need to know that we are also undergoing persecution And this is not happening physically, that although it's not happening physically for us, but it is happening inside us. And I would say that there are three elements that are constantly persecuting us. One is Satan, the other is the world, the third is our own flesh. So we are undergoing this persecution every day. And this persecution, like Paul is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. So what we have to do is we have to endure this persecution, and finally we are going to receive this true peace that God is trying to give. So the suffering is not going to directly take us to that position. If you see in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, Paul says like this: through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we could see this is a process actually. From suffering, we have to learn endurance. Only when we start to endure, our character gets developed. And when our character is developed, we get this hope. And that hope gives us the joy of the Holy Spirit. And He puts us in the love of Christ, love of God, and that will enable us to enjoy His presence in our life. So suffering is nothing but it is going to take us to a position where we are going to enjoy the love of God. So when we wanted to enjoy the love of God, we have to endure this suffering and develop in character and get a hope so that we enjoy the love of God in Holy Spirit. So that is a true comfort that we receive during this persecution. We can see this people undergoing physical persecution. You could also see that the person was telling about the steadfastness. So it is because of that thing we are just getting transformed from in faith actually. So the next thing I would say is faith in times of fear. We all have this emotion of fear in us. So it's the slide before. Faith in times of fear. We know that this emotion is within us. So in this chapter, in verse 28, that is Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, we could see that Lord is saying, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So we all have different kinds of fear in life. Fear for sickness, fear for diseases, and fear for war, and fear of future. And we can name that any kind of fear, for that matter. But this fear should not overtake us. When we have the fear of Lord, although we are having a lot of things going around us that are bad, we can stand in faith and we can win this war of fear actually. So I would like to say the example of Paul in that's what I wanted to share with the next slide. So you could see these images, all these happening for Paul from Acts chapter 23 to chapter 27. He was in the prison in the Roman prison, and during that time the Jewish people, some zealous Jewish people, about 40 men, they took they wanted to kill Paul. They had a plot for that, but fortunately what happened was his nephew, he got that information and he just shared that with the Roman officials, and he was transferred from Jerusalem to Caesarea, and that is how he was saved actually. So that was the first thing that happened to him. Then second, when we see like he was taken to Rome, during that time there was a big storm going on, and there was a shipwreck, and during that time also he was saved and was taken to Malta, the small island. And when he reached, that was the second instance where he could have got killed. The third instance was like when he was with the people there, a poisonous snake bit him, and he was, and everyone was expecting him to die, but he did not die. So all of these three instances, we could say that although like he was having different kinds of fears around him, like although different kinds of situations were very bad around him, and all of these situations did not kill him, because God had a purpose for him. That is what we could see in the next. Next slide, actually. We could see that in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, the Lord appeared to Paul and he just encouraged him by saying, "Take courage, for as you have been testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." So this was a plan of God for Paul. So this plan definitely will be like the Lord will come to happen in his life. But what happens is like all of these things, like this Roman people, like Jewish people who are trying to kill him, this weather and also this snake could not take his life, because God had a purpose for him. And he had the fear of God in him, and he was faithful enough to, like he was always trusting the Lord during all these circumstances. Even during this shipwreck, during the storm, we can see that in Acts chapter 27, verse 24 to 25, Paul was encouraged by an angel of God. He was specially encouraged. Although like the Lord told him about the plan, what is going to happen, during this bad storm, bad weather, like Paul was encouraged by God through an angel, and he clearly told that message like, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told." Here, not only Paul is getting encouraged about this, but he's also helping other people like to know the faith, because God is definitely faithful enough to bring them out of this particular crisis. So what can we say actually? We have to trust in the Lord. Although many things going bad around us, like we have a purpose from God, and that purpose will be definitely be fulfilled. And that is what psalmist like David saying, "Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land." So when we put our trust in the Lord, whatever is going bad around us is not going to affect us. It's not going to take away our life. But only God has the authority, and He has a plan and purpose for us. So He will help us to endure till the end. And also, like the psalmist saying a joyful acclamation, like we can also say this in our life: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So He is our fortress, and we can rely on Him, and we can trust on Him, and only He can, He is our protector, and no one can touch us, even though whatever the circumstances might be, only He is there to take care of us. And the next thing is, faith against the passions of the flesh. So as I said, like we all have these passions of the flesh in us. We are not yet done actually. We are still in this world, and still we are undergoing a lot of things within us. So although these things are happening around us, I wanted to highlight one verse in the passage that we read, that is Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, it says like this, like the Lord says like this, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So I wanted to go to the spiritual meaning of this. Like losing life is, we know about it, but the spiritual meaning of that is losing something for the Lord. What we have to lose, that is a person that we are getting, and the things that we have to lose is what, like the fleshly passions within us. That is what the Paul is speaking in Galatians chapter 5. He's saying about different kinds of fleshly passions that we have. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealous, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. So all of these things, like, comes from the fleshly passions. Like, we have to overcome this, and we have to lose all of these passions, and we have to put all of these passions in the cross. Like, we have to crucify that, so that we have to put that to death, and so that we will gain life. That is what the Lord is saying. Like, for His sake, when we do that, we will gain life, and we will see the life, eternal life. So when Paul is in the end of the chapter, he's concluding like this: and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what can we say? Like, we have to crucify these passions in the cross, and we have to leave those things, and we have to lose those things, so that we may gain life. The fourth thing that I wanted to bring to you is like faith to bring others to Christ. So in this world, like, we are seeing a lot of people around us. Like, we'll be meeting a lot of people around us, and we'll be like, as Christians, when we go, sometimes they might receive us and sometimes they might not receive us. But when they receive us, definitely we have to share the gospel to them, and we have to bring Lord Jesus in their life, and so that they will also enjoy this newness of life. So when in this chapter, like when we see in the 40th verse, Lord is saying like this: whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. So this is also said to the disciples. We also have to learn this discipleship, and we should also do this kind of act. Like, whenever we share, whenever we go to different kinds of people around this world, we can present them our Lord Jesus Christ, our faith that is within us, so that they will also be knowing the things. Because when we see all of these things, Abraham, like, he was a common man in Old Testament. Like, he was one person. He was not like a big family or anything else. He was one person who was called by God, and based on his faith, there was generations, like many people in this world was blessed. And so only he is called as a father of faith, because through him, like, many people receive the Christ. Actually, in this line, actually, Christ was born, and through Christ many are brought to the kingdom of heaven. And what we can say, like in Romans chapter 4:16, Paul is explaining this kind of faith, like what Abraham had. He says, like, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So by faith, we are also children to Abraham. So we have to do the same thing. Like, we have to start believing in the Lord, and also share him, because he is being the prophet, and his reward is being received by many other people. So, like, we are also, like, we have to act like a prophet, and we have to present Christ to others. I would like to say one small example. It just happened a few weeks before. When we went to the mock exam, like, Kevin is writing some mock exams, and so when we went to that center, we happened to see a family who came from Coventry, basically, and they're an Indian family, and they were just trying to share a lot of things. And when we were speaking to them, actually, we came to know that they came from one of the topest universities in India, and also they were holding some prestigious jobs and things like that. And when we were talking to them, when Annette was talking to her, lady actually, and when she was sharing a lot of things to Annette, and she started to cry and say, I don't know why I'm saying all of those things. She was saying the other side of her life, and she started to share all of those things to Annette, and she was literally crying. Although they have like they came from like they have a lot of background, they did not have that peace in them, and they were able to see that. And Annette was counseling her like by telling story, telling about the faith and about the Lord. And she told like she also had some school friends who used to say about the faith in Jesus Christ and things like that. So we were very amazed about that, because those people like doing a lot of things in this world, but they did not have the peace in them, and they are struggling hard in their lives actually. And when we started to share, and they are in constant touch with Annette for prayers and other things. So we did not expect them, like we did not know them before, but when we start to like when we start to share this faith, something will happen in their life, and the Lord start like He starts to do His work. The Holy Spirit will start to do His work in their lives, and it will be totally different. Like, and we'll be bringing many brothers and sisters in, to the kingdom of God. So, how like Christ says here, we have to be received by many people, and so that Christ will be testified. The last thing like I would like to share is like faith to receive the reward in due time. So, in the same chapter, like we read in verse 42, we read like this: whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So this is one of the things that we come across in the Christian journey actually. Like when we do a small good thing, like even for a small thing, that will be remembered by our Lord, and it will be definitely rewarded for us. And Paul is trying to tell even more like precisely like about certain other things. If we could see that in Galatians chapter 6, 9, verses 9 to 10, he says like this: I would like you to remind you what Paul says, and let us not grow weary of doing thing good. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. So Paul is mentioning especially the word especially to those who are in the household of faith. Although we do many good things to many people around this world, when we start doing good things to the people of the household of faith, even a small little thing like even giving a cup of water will definitely be rewarded for us in the kingdom of God. So God will definitely will not cheat us, like He will definitely reward us. So we should be doing this, keep doing this good work. Maybe sometimes we might get distressed, or we might think like, what is there in doing these things and doing that things. But when we do not lose heart, like how you say, like we will definitely reap the benefit, not only in this life, but also in the kingdom of God. So we have to do this like constantly, even though like we are not feeling happy to do that. We have to do this small little good thing, and we have to keep on sharing that, so that when our Lord comes, as per the Revelation chapter 22 verse 12 says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay each one for what he has done. So his reward is with each one of us. It's not like for a congregation or for a big people group of people. It's not or it's not for separate people, but it's for each and every one of us. So we have to receive this reward from the Lord, and we have to receive this reward. So we have to be doing this small little thing, especially to the household of faith, and we have to be encouraged in doing that. So these are the things like I would like to share in the sermon. So as a summary, I would say like faith during persecution, as we saw that the persecution is not only happening physically, it is also happening within us. Satan, world, and the flesh is constantly persecuting us, so we have to endure this persecution so that we will receive the love of God in us. And The next thing is, in times of fear, we have to take faith. And these times of fear, like everyone will undergo this, so we have to take this faith, and we have to stand for the Lord, so that whatever happens, like Paul's life, whatever happens, we will not be finished. We will be taken care of the Lord. And third is the passions of this world. We cannot ignore these passions of this world. So although there are passions of this world, we have to stand for the Lord amidst that, and we have to show our faith, and we have to crucify ourselves in the cross. And faith to bring others to Christ, this is one thing that we have to do on a daily basis. Like, even though we know people or we don't know the people, we have to share the faith within us. And last thing is receiving the reward in due time. So we will receive the reward, definitely, whatever the small thing that we do as an act of faith. So I want, shall we all close our eyes and pray? Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wonderful morning. We thank you for your word, Lord. We are weak in flesh, but your spirit will enable us to stay strong in all our hardships, in all our persecutions. Lord, help us to stay strong in you and renew our faith to depend on you always, whatever circumstances we may undergo. Lord, help us to get rid of the fear that going around us. We fear you, the only you, the Holy Master. You can save our souls to eternity. Lord, enable us to share your gospel to people around us in this world, and also give us the grace to do good works, especially to the household of faith. Give us this grace and courage to do all this in Christ Jesus. Amen.